Hello and welcome to OU's Nach Yomi. You can find this year posted at ouradio.org/Nach or on my website, ericlevy.com, under the recording section.
Hi, this is Rabbi Eric Levy, and I am pleased to bring to you Tila Samach, Psalm 60. Psalm 60 is a national lament, which can be detected from the plural format. Zenachtanu, you have abandoned us. Havalanu, Ezrat Mitzar. Send us an aid or aid against the enemy. Even when the psalm switches to the singular form, va'aneni, and respond to me, it is clear that this is the leader of the nation, in singular, who is speaking for the sake of his people, plural. The setting is clearly a war, and one which is not going so well at all. This is evident not only from the historic setting in the inscription, but from the body of the psalm as well, such as Mi Ovileni Ir Matzor, who has led me, or us, really my people, to the besieged city. And in fact, the body of the psalm matches more or less with the history which is indicated by the inscription, since both talk about military action against the Edomites during David's time. So let's take a look at the inscription and see what events are either described by or have been motivated by this psalm. Lamnatzeach al Shushan Edut, Michtam leDavid lilamed, for the maestro on Shushan Edut, which perhaps was an instrument, perhaps a six-stringed instrument, or perhaps some six-timed music, a mechtam by David lilamed, for teaching. But whether it means that it was used for musical instruction on how to play or chant the Tehillim, or whether it means that the contents are religious instruction to an audience, is unclear. And now for the historical reference. Behatzoto et Aram Naharayim ve'et Aram Sova vayashov Yoav vayach et Edom begay melach shneim asar aleph. As he scorched the nations of Aram Naharayim and Aram Sova, both of these Aramaic nations were north of Aram Damascus, in northern Syria of today. Aram Sova was probably immediately to the north of Aram Damascus, and then above that, all the way reaching up to nearly southern Turkey, where the Euphrates is Aram Naharayim, which means the Aram between the rivers. Continuing on with the verse, and Yoav, who was David's general and his nephew, returned to and crushed 12,000 of Edomites in the Salt Valley, probably what we know today of, or right below what we know of today as the Dead Sea. This event coincides with, but does not exactly match, the events described in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 8. That chapter describes David's conquest of a broad range of neighboring territories, including Moab to the west. David's harsh treatment of them can perhaps be traced to the disappearance of his parents, who were held by Moab. They seem to be killed after they were of no use to Moabites anymore. Aram Sova, he conquered the Aramite nations by the Euphrates, Aram Damascus, the Aram directly north in Lebanon called Aram Hamat, which and the closer nations were actually became part of or vassal states in the text. They're referred to as avadim to Israel rather than just a far off territory, which more or less had to be to recognize David's status. He then conquered the Edomites with a decisive victory against them in the Salt Valley. Following that battle, in which 18,000, note the 18,000 Edomites were killed, different than the 12,000 mentioned in our psalm, David set up garrisons in Edom, making it also a subject nation of Vadim, servants to him. What is also different from our psalm is that the battle which made the Edomites a vassal state or a subject to Israel, to David, is credited to David in the book of Samuel, since he gets credited, of course, as the king. But the actual general, we learn in the parallel account in the book 1 of Chronicles, chapter 18, was not Yoav, but Yoav's brother, Avishai. So, I'm going to, based on these differences, that it was Avishai who led the first battle, and that the numbers are not the same. So, I'm going to speculate here, based on the difference of these facts, and also based on knowledge of geopolitics, the way that nations strive and work with each other, against each other, especially the way they behaved in the ancient Near East, and say that David and Avishai conquered the Edomites as described in the book of Chronicles and in the book of Shmuel and turned it into a vassal state, into Avadim. In order to keep order, David set up a garrison in Edom. Edom, apparently then, wanting to shake off the yoke of the Israelites, probably because they were tied up. The Israelites were tied up in a war in northern Israel, so opportunistically it looked like a good time to break away from Israel control. So Edom destroyed the garrison, probably killing hundreds or even thousands of soldiers, support personnel, families, and what have you, who were stationed in Edom. David then dispatched Yoav, hence the word return, Vayashov, in our inscription, to put down the rebellious vassal, Edom, killing 12,000 of them in Gei-Melach, returning them to a subject state. It seems that the battle did not start off very well for the Israeli forces, giving birth to this psalm, which is, of course, a universal psalm, and therefore it could be used any time Israel is at war, and a war that apparently was sanctioned by God, and yet somehow doesn't seem to be going well. Somehow God does not seem to be supporting a war which seems sanctioned by him and just in his eyes. Elohim zenachtanu feratanu anafta teshovev lanu. O God, you have abandoned us, you have cracked us open, you have been angered, so restore us, or perhaps return to us. Hir ashta eretz pitzam tah refashivareha chi mata. You have caused the earth to quake and created fissures in it. Heal its cracks because it is toppling. The verb rafa is spelled with a hey, meaning to weaken, but the aleph and hey sometimes switch. So here the word seems to be resh fe aleph, which means to heal, which makes much more sense in context. Note that in the previous two verses, half of the line is the description of the troubles, and half is a petition to rescue us from those troubles. In the past two lines, the format is essentially half and half, but now in the next line, or the next two lines, we have one line full of troubles, and then another line that God will then fix things that are in trouble, or actually confidence that God has already fixed the problem. Hirita amcha kasha hishkitanu yayin tarela. You have caused your nation to see, or better, to experience hardship. You have watered your people with a poisonous wine. Watered is not really a great word, but I can't think of the liquid equivalent of you fed them. I know you watered them, you liquided them, I'm not sure. In Hebrew, there's a nice distinction. Ha'achil, to feed them, and hishka is to cause them to drink, or to give them water to drink. But in English, there's not really, as far as I can tell, one nice word. Although if you think of one, I'd be happy if you emailed it to me. The next verse talks about God's rescue from this situation. But the past tense is just confidence that God will. Natata li reecha neis lehit noseis mipinei koshet sela. You gave, or really, I am confident that you will give to those who fear you, to the ones who fear you, i.e. us, a standard, that is a banner, like a flag on a pole, to rally around because of the truth, i.e. because that is the right thing to do, Selah. Koshet is from the Aramaic, kshot, truth, a Semitic language close to Hebrew. Aramaic is a cognate language of Hebrew. And no doubt the words were very much in the vocabulary, what with all the waters and the wars and the treaties being forged with the various Aram nations at the time. Now, the fact that God has not saved them yet is evident from the next verse. However, if we want to read this verse that we just had, Natata li reecha neis lehit noseis, not as the confidence tense of something that will happen, but something that actually did happen, it's possible that the king who is leading this prayer is thanking God that he, himself, the king, has been made by God a standard that the forces can gather around in this losing battle. And therefore, he is now asking for God's support, that God support his right-hand man, that is, the king, which he has already set over Israel. Leman yechaltsun yedidecha hoshia yimincha v'aneni. In order that your beloved will be saved, will be freed. The beloved, he's not just talking about himself. Yedidecha is in the plural, means all of your people. Rescue your right hand, i.e. the king, and answer me. Now, the king, God's right hand, recalls the words that he heard from God himself in the next verse. These are the words that either he received through a prophet or from the priest telling him that this war is a just war and that he, God, is supporting it. As we will see, it is because God gave the go-ahead that the king and his people are so shocked by the way things are going. Elohim diber b'kodesho, e'elozach al ka shechem ve'imek sukot am Hamadein. God spoke from his holy place, or maybe through his holy, perhaps referring to the breastplate, the Urim Vatumim, used by the high priest, that was used to divine God's will. The word was that I would be happy, Eloza, that I would divide Shechem and measure out, i.e. control, the valley of Sukkot. Shechem was always, and is still, a hotbed of insurgents and an area north of Jerusalem that needs to be controlled if one wants to stage armies to the deep north in Aram. Emek Sukkot may be the land across the Jordan in the west bank of the Jordan River where Jacob set up shop on the way back from his sojourn in Laban. So it could be that David is saying, I heard from you when you spoke through your Holy One, that I would be happy and I would divide Shechem. Or it could be that he's actually quoting God, starting from the word Achalka, I, God, will divide. But I think the first one is correct. Amadeid, by the way, also is a word to measure out. Also shows up in chapter 18 of Samuel. So if you take a look there, you'll see how it is used. Li Gilad, Velimen Ashev, Ephraim Ma'oz Roshi, Yehuda Mechokaki. The Gilad is to me, Menashe is to me, Ephraim is my primary fortress, Judah is my ruling staff. Gilad is Menashe, a very powerful tribe who we mostly don't hear about in the Book of Kings, since they lived on the east bank of the Jordan River, like in the area of the Golan Heights in the north and also in the plateau directly to the south of that, which was called the Gilad. So they didn't always involve themselves in the politics of Israel proper. But the fact that they would hear that the king has heard that they would join forces with him in his battles is very significant to him. Also, Ephraim and Judah, both mentioned in this line, are essentially the two primary divisions of Israel, Ephraim being usually in the role of leadership over the 10 tribes of northern Israel, and Judah, well, being Judah. The psalmist, therefore, the king David is happy because God has promised him a united national front for fighting his war, northern Israel, southern Israel, and the forces on the west bank of the Jordan, all gathering together under a single flag to fight, or so the word said when they asked God if they should go to war against Edom. Moav Sir Achtsi al Edom Ashlich Naali Alai Peleshet Hitroai. Moab will be my washing basin. I will throw my shoe at Edom. The Philistines call out to me. These three nations are mentioned because they're really a triumvirate of forces that would affect you if you were fighting in the south against Edom, since Moab is just to the north of Edom and Peleshet is on your rear, that is on the opposite side of you if you're facing towards Edom and attacking her. Obviously, this indicates that these three nations would become subject to David's rule or would not be able to stand against her when David went to fight Edom for what she had done to Israel. Note the throwing of one shoe is a symbolic act of showing ownership, possession, or authority, and it's obviously a symbolic act that goes back a long way in the Middle East, and it's not only done today in 2008, or now 2009. Now, I think that the next verse is negative. It's almost an accusation. Mi ovileni ir matzor, mi nachani ad Edom. Who has led me to the besieged city? Who has encamped me all the way to Edom? That is to say, who told me to make this war? Halo ata Elohim, zenachtanu velo tetze Elohim betziv otenu. Wasn't it you, O God? You've abandoned us, and you won't go out with our armies. Again, the word abandoned, like we had at the beginning of the psalm. And you can't be abandoned unless he was with you in the first place. But David's point here is that he should have been there in the first place because David received the word from God to go to war against Edom. Nonetheless, this does not affect David's belief and loyalty to God and his knowledge that God is the only solution for his problems. Havalanu ezrat mitzar vishav teshuat Adam. Bring us aid against the enemy, he calls to God, since salvation from man, that is looking to man for salvation, is a lie. That is to say, we're looking nowhere else for help other than you, even though you have abandoned us in this time of war. Be'elohim na'aseh chayil v'hu yavus tzareinu. It is through God that we will be victorious. And he, in great confidence, he says, and he, God, will trample our enemies. And with that, I end my lessons for Tehillim, Psalm 31 through Psalm 60. I thank you very much for listening, and I'll be back in 3 months to teach the book of Iob, the book of Job.